Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Sukkah Mem Aleph. We begin three lines from the top of the Amud. Says Gemara, Omar Rav Ashi. This is a continuation of yesterday's Sugya, where we learned about Kedusha Shvius. Not only does the fruit itself have Kedusha Shvius, which means it must be consumed properly, Achila, Shtia, etc., within the prescribed time frame, within the Zman Biur, on Shemitah itself. And just as the fruit has Kedusha, it's money. It means the funds received in exchange for that fruit has Kedusha Shvius as well and must be spent properly. Now, how does one go about creating money which has Kedusha Shvius? So we had a machlekes, according to Rabbi Lezer, it only works derech mekach, by way of exchange, transaction. Take your apple, you exchange it for money. Then that money has Kedusha Shvius. Of course, the original apple also remains Kaddish b'Kedusha Shvius. It's inherently Kaddish. It's a seventh year apple. It can't lose its Kedusha. But the Chiddush that we learned yesterday is that this second item as well acquires Kedusha Shvius and must be consumed properly. Rabbi Lezer says it only works derech mekach, by way of exchange. So when you take an extra apple, which is Kaddish b'Kedusha Shvius, you exchange it for a pear. That pear has Kedusha Shvius as well because you're basically eating that pear instead of the apple that you had. So you're almost fulfilling, so to speak, the achila of the original apple in this pear. So the pear substitutes for the apple, takes its place. It acquires Kedusha Shvius. But you can't do it derech chilul, by way of direct transferring of Kedusha. That only works by Hegdish, which is an acquired Kedusha, but when you have Kedusha Shvius, which is naturally Kaddish, you can't just take that Kedusha and say, I'm going to move it around. I'm going to take that Kedusha and bring it over to something else. So according to Rabbi Lezer, only derech mekach, by way of transaction, by way of exchange. In which case, you're giving up one item and getting another one in its place. And that's substituting for the first item. And that's almost like a fulfillment of the achila, of the consumption of the first item that you already had. So this has Kedusha of the first item, but not derech chilul. Rabbi Yechon says, either option works. Bein derech mekach, by way of transaction, by way of exchange. Bein derech chilul. Chilul works as well too. By way of transfer. You take your apple and you say, I want the money right here to have the Kedusha of the apple. That also works. Now comes Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi will present another angle to this discussion. Says the Gemara three lines from the top. Omar Rav Ashi, machlekes. His whole discussion, meaning Rav Lezer, who says that it only works derech mekach, is only be pre-rishon with respect to the original fruit. Avol be pre-sheni, but if it's a second fruit, Rashi says, demei shvius, basically means a second generation, a derivative of that original fruit. So it's not the original shvius fruit. It's an exchange. It's something that's substituting for the original fruit. So that's a lower level kedusha. Avol be pre-sheni, divrei HaKohel. All agree. Even Rav Lezer would agree. You can move the kedusha around in whichever way you choose. Bein derech mekach, by way of exchange and purchase and selling. Bein derech chilul, by way of direct transfer. It's only by the original that Rav Lezer says the Kedusha will only be extended to its money by way of exchanging, by way of transferring, by way of a transaction. As we explained, the second one is basically substituting for the first one. So you're fulfilling the achila of the first one and the second one. That's the only way to do that. But by way of chilul, it doesn't work. You can't just transfer the Kedusha over to the second item. But when it comes to pre-sheni, what's the difference between Pirisha and Prisheni? Very simple. Prisheni is not the original fruit. The Kedusha that has been inserted into the Prisheni. In this case, Rashi says, it's the Dmei Shvius. That money isn't originally Kaddish. It's not naturally Kaddish. It acquired Kedusha. It's an applied Kedusha. that Kedusha can be moved around with ease. It's like the Kedusha of Hekdesh applied to a Chefetz. That Kedusha can be transferred to something else by way of Chilul. You don't need to exchange and to purchase and to buy and to sell. The Kedusha itself can just be transferred to something else. So a person could take this money and say, you know, I want the Kedusha in this money to be transferred on my apple. No transaction, no exchanging, no substitution. That works. So again, Rashi says, when it comes to Prisheni, the derivative, the second tier, the second generation Kedusha, such as money which was received in exchange for Peder Shvius, that's not its own Kedusha. It's an applied Kedusha, and that Kedusha can be moved around simply by way of transferring. Says the Gemara, we had a brice yesterday which described this fellow taking Peder Shvius, exchanging it for basar, taking the basar, exchanging it for dogim, for yayin, over to etc., etc. And the brice used the word lokach. He purchased this, he sold that, he purchased this. Vadik tani lokach, lokach. Why did the brice mention lokach so many times? I understand that with respect to the first fruit, the only way to transfer the Kedusha is by way of transaction, pre-rishon. But once you get to the second level, second generation, the item which was received in exchange for the first item, that's pre-sheni, that Kedusha can be moved around and transferred by way of chilul. Why does the Braisa mention lokach, lokach over and over? He writes, says the Gemara, I did the ton of resha lokach. It's simply on account of the resha, because it had to say lokach in the beginning, by the pre-rishon, that's the only way to move around the Kedusha when you're dealing with the pre-rishon, according to Blazer. Tana nami sefer lokach. On account of that, the Brice just continued the same terminology, kept with the lashon lokach, although it's not really necessary. Once you get to the second level, once you get to the fruit or money received in exchange for the Peder Shvius, that Kedusha is an incidental Kedusha. It's not inherent. It's not natural. And that Kedusha can be transferred by simply being mechalal that Kedusha on something else. Esevei Ravina Ravashi. He says, have a kash on you. How could you say that? Listen to this. Brice, it's his sefta. Mishi Yeshle Selash al Shvius. This fellow has a coin which has Kedusha Shvius. Ubikesh Likach Leichalok. He'd like to purchase a robe. That's problematic, because Shvius money is only meant to be used in very specific ways. It's meant to be consumed on Shvius, as opposed to buying something durable, which will last you past Shvius. That's not La'ochla, that's L'schoyra, Rashi says. So is there any way out, any solution to this problem? He has money, and he needs to buy a robe. Ketzad Yasa, what should he do? Says the Brice, so we'll give him some good advice. Yeirich etzel chemveni, harugel etzlei, should approach the local grocer, the chemveni, harugel etzlei, where he's accustomed to shopping. So he's a neighborhood grocer who's gonna help him out. Va'omerleini tells him, look, tainli b'sela peiris, I have this sela, which is shvius, which is kaddish. Please, could you give me some peiris of equal value? But nicely, and he gives it to him. So now the fellow gave him the coin. The chenveni provided him with fruit, which are now kodesh b'kedusha shvius, because they have acquired the kedusha of that money. They've been exchanged for that money. And the chenveni now has money, which is no longer kodesh b'kedusha shvius, because that kedusha was transferred to the fruit, which was received in exchange for that money. So now the customer turns around to the grocer and he says, look, Harei Peiris Halol, look at these fruit here, which are Kaddish, Nusunim Lachav Matana. They're given to you as a gift. Here, take it back. And the Chenveni turns around and says, likewise, Hahei Lachav Sela Zub Matana, take this coin back, Matana. So now the Peiris are Kaddish B'Kedusha Shvius. And the Chenveni must consume them properly, according to the guidelines of Kedusha Shvius. And the customer, the alleged customer, now has a sela which is free of any Kedusha. V'halo lokech ben ma shiyirtz. Now he could take it and use it for whatever he needs, even to buy a robe. So he took his Dmei Shvi'is and removed its Kedusha by way of transaction. So that's the end of the price. Asks the Gemara, Dmei Shvi'is, is that original? No. It's a second generation. It's a derivative of the original fruit. It doesn't have its own Kedusha. It's a pre-sheni. Why does the Bryson insist on removing its Kedusha simply, strictly by way of transaction? Pre-sheni doesn't need that, according to Rav Ashi. V'hocha the pre-sheni, speaking about a pre-sheni, money, uktoni derech mekech in, derech chiluloi. The Bryson indicates that the only way to remove that Kedusha is by way of transaction, with that grocer back and forth, the whole wheel and deal, av derech chiluloi. You cannot remove the Kedusha simply by way of transfer. If that were true, then this fellow doesn't need any help from the grocer. Just take that money, which is Kaddish, position some fruit next to that coin and say, look, the Kedusha of this coin, we transfer directly on that fruit. Apparently that doesn't work. The only way to do it is by way of transfer, by way of transaction. Even though it's a pre-sheni, the money isn't the original Kedusha. It says in what you write, Elomar Rav Ashi, let me correct things. It's actually Lechumra, the more strict. Machlekes v'prisheni. This discussion that we had between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yechanan on how to be Machalo. And Rabbi Yechanan maintains that you don't need a transaction, even their chilul works. That only applies v'prisheni. By that second level, you have something which was received in exchange for Shvi'is fruit, such as another fruit, such as money. It's an imitation, it's a copy, it's not the original. That Kedusha isn't internal, it's not inherent. And there Rabbi Yochanan maintains you could transfer the Kedusha by way of Chilul. It's similar to the Kedusha's Hegdish, which can move around at ease. Aval be'pririsha in divrei ha'koil, derech mekach in, derech chiluloi. But when it comes to the original fruit, which is internally Kaddish, it's inherently Kaddish, all agree, even Rabbi Yechon would agree, you can't just transfer its Kedusha. The only way to affect Kedusha on something else is by way of transaction. As explained earlier, you take that fruit and you exchange it for something else, so you're fulfilling, so to speak, the achila, the consumption, the dinam of the first fruit in the second fruit that you've now received in exchange. So it's tit for tat, it's a substitution. But you can't just take the Kedusha and remove it. Kedusha and transfer it. You can't do that. So bottom line, Rashi says, the pre-rishon is so Kaddish that nothing can be done unless it's derech mekach. Says the Gemara, we had another brayse yesterday, which seems to indicate otherwise. V'hadik tani echad shvi'is v'echad maser sheni. We had a brayse which spoke about shvi'is or maser sheni, where the Kedusha is going to be transferred onto animals. The question was, live animals, shachat animals, as we discussed yesterday. In any case, what do we see? That you can actually be machalo, you can directly transfer the Kedusha from the Shvi'is fruit. The Gemara is assuming that Shvi'is is describing Shvi'is fruit. Maser sheni, describing Maser sheni fruit. So that's the original Kedusha, which allows transfer? That's a kasha on Rav Ashi, who says, no one. There is no one who allows transfer from the original fruit, if it's not derech mekach. Says the Gemara, it's incorrect. My shvi'is to me shvi'is. Shvi'is is not the original fruit. We're speaking about money is received in exchange for shvi'is fruit. That's pre-sheni. That's a second generation kedusha. That allows chilul. Dili timehachi. Because if you want to agree with me, then when the Brisa spoke about maser mamish, that the original maser fruit, and you're going to transfer the Kedusha onto an animal? You certainly can't do that. V'oksiv v'tzarta kasev yadecha. Torah says, take the money in your hands, meaning the Kedusha of the maser sheni fruit must be transferred strictly on money. You can't do it on an animal. So you must say, Ela Dmei Maser. We're not speaking about the original Maser Sheni. We're speaking about something received in exchange from Maser Sheni. Monies received in exchange. Money which acquired the Kedusha of Maser Sheni. Hachanami Dmei Shvius. Likewise, when we discuss Shvius, we're not speaking about the original Shvius fruit, which wouldn't allow for Chilul. It's the original Kedusha. You can't just be Machal. You can't just transfer Kedusha. You can't just extend its Kedusha to its money. It has to be exchanged by transaction. Speaking about Dmei Shvius, second generation Kedusha Shvius, money is received in exchange for the original fruit. That's a more lenient form of Kedusha Shvius, and that allows for transfer by way of Chilul, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so at the end of the day, the conclusion was that Rav Ashi is actually being Machmer. This machlokes between Rav Lezner and Rabbi Yochanan only applies to a pre-sheni, such as fruit received in exchange for your shvius fruit. Money is received in exchange for your shvius fruit. That's an acquired kedusha. That's an applied kedusha. That's not the original. Over here, Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what? Let's compare it to an hegdish item, which acquired kedusha. It's an applied kedusha and can be moved around at ease, even via direct transfer. You don't need a transaction. You don't need an exchange. But when it comes to the original shvius fruit, all agree. The only way to extend its kedusha to its monies, to the demei shvius, is only by way of transaction. You exchange this for that, so that takes this place. That is coming to substitute for the original fruit. Now, of course, the original fruit always remains Kaddish. We discussed this yesterday. But since I received this in exchange for that, by me, it's as though I'm fulfilling the original Achila, the dinim of consumption applied to the first item, which I no longer have, and applying that to the second item, which I received in exchange. So that works. Derech Mekech Tavka. Continues the Mishnah. Bari Shoina. Initially, the olden days, when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, Hayalulav Nito B'Migdash Shiva. In the Migdash, they would take the lulav all throughout the 7 days of Sukkot. The Pasuk says, V'lkachta Hilchem HaYom HaRishon, and then it says, Usmachta L'fnei Hashem Shiva HaSyam, which indicates that you want to take the lulav throughout all 7 days of Sukkot, if you're in the Migdash. Uba Medina, but outside the Migdash, merely Yom Echad, only on the first day. This is when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. But Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, after the destruction of the Mikdash, Hiskin Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai, Sheyehe Lulav Nitol B'Medina Shiva Zechel HaMikdash. He was Mesak, and he established a minhag that you would take the Lulav even outside the Mikdash, even outside Yerushalayim, for 7 days, as a remembrance what transpired during the time of the Mikdash, to generate longing and yearning to the Beis HaMikdash. That's number one. He was misak another takana. V'shiyehe yom hanef, kuli osr, at the yom hanef, the yom of Tznufa, referring to the 16th day of Nisan, where they would bring the mincha so'imer, which would actually change the status of the new grains. Up until that point, you couldn't consume the new crop, the new grain. Can't eat chadash before the omer, but after the omer was brought, now all new grains were mutar b'achila. So that was during the Mikdash. But after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, he was mesakin that the entire day was asr. Chadash can only be eaten the following day, on the 17th of Nisan. Let's go over to Rashi about 4 or 5 lines down. Says Rashi Mas Nisan. So initially, the lulav was taken by Mikdash Shiva Kedarshinim Terskoinim. Pasuk says Mismachtem Fnei Hashem Lekechem Shivas Yomim. So Fnei Hashem in the Mikdash, you take it for 7 days. V'loy Begvulin Zayin Yom, as opposed to the Gvulin outside the Mikdash, there's no mitzvah to take the lulav for 7 days. So only in the Mikdash was it 7, but by Medina, Rashi says Biyushalayim Sheafu Kegvulin. anyway outside the Mikdash, including Yerushalayim, that's also called Gvulim. You'd only take it the first day. Interesting that the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnah many times in Masech Sheni and Shkolev over here on Shoshana maintains that even Yerushalayim is considered Mikdash as far as these halachas are concerned. Now the question is nowadays. Some people are noyig to actually go to the Kaisel area to shake lulav on Sukkos. Why? What's the point of doing that? Because nowadays, throughout Sukkos, other than the first day, throughout Sukkos, it's only midrabbanan. And it's certainly preferred to be mekayim the mitzvah min haTorah. And if we hold like the Rambam, it's not clear, but if we follow the Rambam, that the entire Yerushalayim is considered mokim of Mikdash with respect to the halacha of lulav, then you're mekayim a mitzvah min haTorah. All throughout Sukkos, Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal used to do that. He used to go every morning to the Kaisel area, shake lulav to be mekayim the mitzvah min haTorah. V'smachtem l'fnei Hashem l'kechem shivas yomim. Now, not everybody does this. There's a lot of tzedakim that would not require this. Firstly, who says that halacha is like the Rambam? Rashi clearly learns that Mikdash in this case is only the actual Beis HaMikdash, not Yerushalayim. He says Yerushalayim is Gevulim. So there's no mila, there's no advantage in shaking the lulav in Yerushalayim if you're not in the actual Azoro, the Chasam Sofer says even the Harabayis. But here you're outside everything. That's one thing. And also, some say that once you shake the lulav outside and you're Yotzi, even if it's only a mitzvah derabanan, there's no need to repeat again. There's no point in repeating again. So if you were Yotzi outside Yerushalayim, there's really no gain, perhaps, in coming back and shaking again at the coastal area. Rabbi Yashiv used to actually come in the morning and do the bracha, the initial netilas lulav at the coastal, so to cover this possibility. Interesting Indian. Continues Rashi. The second takana was Shehe Yom Hanef. Yom Hanef shall Omer, a day where they will be main of the Omer, Dainat Azayim Benissan, Kuli Asr B'Chadash. You have to refrain from eating Chadash throughout the entire day. Uboid Amigdosh Kayam, when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, then the halacha was different. Mishakar of Omer, Hayochan Chadash Babiyan. Once the Omer was brought, you can start eating Chadash. The Pasuk says like this. Let me read the entire Pasuk. It says, you must refrain from eating the Chadash. Ad havi achem es oimer atznufa, right? And first the pasuk says, ad etzem ayem ezeh. So it goes like this: v'lechem v'kolei v'charma loisoichlu, meant to refrain from eating the new crop of grain, ad etzem ayem ezeh, until the actual day, which day? Tazayin b'nisan. And the pasuk continues, ad havi achem es oimer atznufa, ad havi achem es korban lekecha, right? So what does that tell you? That when you're going to bring the carbon, meaning when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, the Isser only extends until that point. But once the Bais was Charev, there's no need to wait. As long as the 16th day of Nisan dawns on you, as long as you have Heir Mizrach, sunrise, you're Mutter. Once the sun begins rising in the east, on one hand we have the pasuk which says up until this day, so chadash is us up until that day. What does that mean? The hainu heira mizrach. As soon as you have sunrise, you don't need to wait any more than that. We have another pasuk which says you have to wait until the Omer is brought. Adav Yachem. How does this work? Beginning of the day, or you have to wait further until you bring the Mincha. Okay, it's that. Bizman deke Omer. Adav Yachem. Yeah, when the Beis HaMikdash is around, and there's an Omer to be brought, wait until the Omer is brought. Or bizman deke Omer, when there's no Omer. If the Churban HaMikdash, Ad Etzem. You have to wait until the day comes. That's it. Once the 16th day arrives, your mutter. That's minatid. Comes Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and says, no, va'asar Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai aleim kol hayoyim. After you refrain the entire day, the 16th day of Nisan is off limits. Why? Because the fire is time, and the Gemara will elaborate further. So two halachas, two takanis. Firstly, take the lulav all throughout Sukkot, even though you're outside the Mikdash. Number two, refrain from Chadash all throughout that 16th day of Nisan. Continues the Gemara. Menolan d'abdinan zecher l'Mikdash. How would you know that you meant to establish a zecher, a remembrance, for what transpired in the Mikdash, such as taking the lulav all throughout Sukkot as a zecher? How do you know that? Maybe you're not meant to do that. Perhaps it's Baal Tois if you're adding to the mitzvah min HaTorah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan da Makro, we have a pasuk. Ki el aruch alach, makisayich erpa. I'm going to heal your wounds. Erpoich num Hashem, ki nidoch akorlach. Referring to Yerushalayim. They consider you rejected. Tziyoini, doyush ein lach. There's nobody that cares, nobody that misses Yerushalayim. Nobody that longs, nobody that yearns. We learn, doyush ein lach. There's something wrong that nobody was yearning for it. Nobody was missing it. Mechlal de Boyadrisha, apparently that is in place. Establish a minig, a custom which evokes feelings of longing and yearning, such as continuing to shake your lulav throughout Sukkot in the same manner that it was done in the Beis HaMikdash. This will refresh the concept of the Mikdash in your minds and create that longing for those days of old. Next thing he was misakin was, what's the reason for that? As Rashi explained, technically, once sunrise arrives, once the 16th day dawns on you, you're mutter. My time, mehiri yibane beis hamikdash. We hope that very speedily the beis hamikdash will be brought, will be built. What's going to happen then? Things are going to change. Because now you have to wait for the ayimah to be brought in order to eat chadash. This halacha that the 16th day itself is mutter, it's only when there's no aymer. A heira mizrach is matter. Sunrise is matter. But when you have a aymer, when you have a mikdash, ad havayachem. So, if you're accustomed to eating your chadash as soon as the 16th day dawns on you, what happens when the mikdash is built? People won't differentiate. They'll say, v'yaymeru, ishtakat, last year. Take a look, last year what happened? Milo yachalnu beheira mizrach? Haven't we partaken in Chodesh crop as soon as we saw the sunrise, as soon as the 16th day dawned? Hashtinam Nechel. Okay, now as well, we'll continue and with that habit. They won't differentiate. V'inu l'yadi, they won't discern that there's a difference. The shtakad l'yav v'sa migdash, last year there was no migdash. Yeah, you're right. Heir, mizrach, hitter. As soon as the 16th day arrived, or mutter. Now it's different. Baruch Hashem, we have a Mikdash. Hashta, dike beis HaMikdash. It's very different. Oimer matter. You need the Oimer to be matter. So in order to avoid confusion, Rabbi Yechim and Zakai decided better to have it established consistently. Have the 16th day Aser in order to avoid any confusion. So that's more, what's your concern? The Ivni Amos. You're concerned about what? That the Beis HaMikdash will be built when? What time? What day? Ilim Ivni B'Shitzer, say it was built on the 16th day of Nisan. That wouldn't pose a concern, even if they continue their practice. Even they'll eat Chadash that day. It's Mutter. Harei Hiter Heir Mizrach. Once it got light, once the 16th day arrived with no Beis HaMikdash, at that point the Chadash is Mutter. Just because the Mikdash was built in the middle of that day, it doesn't change things. It doesn't make it usher retroactively. Once it was mutter, it remains mutter. So why are you concerned about confusion, about Isser? Elad ibn Bichameser. Oh, perhaps you're concerned about the possibility of the Mikdash being built on the 15th day, or the 14th, or the 13th day of Nisan. In which case, come the 16th day, it's not automatically mutter. You have to wait for the Eimer, right? Okay, fine. Granted, we still don't have to apply an Isser to the entire day. How long does it take for them to be makar the Omer? At most, up until Chatzos. Right? They wouldn't delay, they wouldn't procrastinate past that point. So even if there's a Mikdash, even if you have to wait for the Omer, at most you have to wait until Chatzos. Okay, so Rabbi Yechim should not have applied an Isser to the entire day, just in case there's a Mikdash, in which case they have to wait for the Omer. apply the Isser until Chatzos. But after Chatzos, certainly, rest assured that there's a carbon brought. Mechatzos hayoyim v'hal on tishtri. Past Chatzos, it should be mutter. Dotnan, as we learned in the Mishnah, the Omer was typically taken care of before Chatzos. So even if there's a Mikdash, even if there's an Omer, at most you have to wait until Chatzos. So past Chatzos is never concerned and should never have been answered. Dotnan, haruchaykim mutarim. The ones that live at a distance from Yerushalayim, they don't necessarily know exactly when the Kohanim brought the Omer. So how would they know when to begin eating the Chadash? Haruchaykim mutarim mechatzos hayom alahalam. Past Chatzos is certainly mutter. Why the Vishain Bezin? Miss Aslan, but we know that the Bezin in charge of the Kohanim and of the Korbanos won't procrastinate. They'll make sure that the Omer was brought by the time Chatzos comes around. That's a given, that's a fact. So why are you concerned past Chatzos? Lo Yitzricha, we must be speaking about a different concern. If we allow eating Chadash on the 16th day, perhaps there'll be a Binyan Beis HaMikdash this year, which will be built when? We built in a manner which won't allow them to bring their Omer before Chatzos. And they might get delayed and end up bringing the Omer later on in the day, in which case the whole day is technically also. So on account of that remote possibility, Rabbi Yechanan says, don't eat Chadash, even after destruction of Migdash, don't eat Chadash throughout the entire day. Like Tzricha Divnei Belelia, perhaps it was built at night, between the 15th and the 16th. Inami, or maybe Samach L'Shkia Sachama, on the 15th, very close to Shkia. So it's pretty much the same case. The point is that you won't have enough time to prepare your Omer. By the time they get around to it, it's going to be late in the day, late in the 16th of Nisan. So on account of that remote chashash, Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai established the halacha, never have chadash throughout the entire 16th day. Let's go down to Rashi, seven lines from the bottom. L'tzrichad ivne belelya, kelaymar, says Rashi, what's the concern? L'sham yibana belelya, concern that the midrash will be built at night. Chayish, v'lo yiprim liktzor o'imah, they won't have ample time to cut the grain for the o'imah until close to morning. There's a lot to do. It's a long process. They would first dry it and roast it. They would pile it up so that the moisture drips out. Then they grind it, special grinder. You'd give enough. Sift it 13 times. Begasa, badaka, different types of sifters. Coarse, fine. As the Mishnahs describe. So it's a long process. After you begin only close to morning on the 16th, it's going to take all day. In this case, they couldn't start the process beginning of the night the way they usually do. It stretched until morning because there was a binyan beis hamikdash taking place throughout the night. They won't get around to taking care of it before Chatzos. Inami, another option, the evening bechamesa samach shkias acham avihi. Perhaps the midrash will be built on the 15th, close to shkia. It's pretty close to the previous case. Tosis actually learns that the second scenario of chamesa of samach shkias acham is actually not speaking about the 15th. Speaking about erev yomtiv, close to shkia. It means so close to yomtiv, which won't allow them enough time to go scout to look around for fresh grain, to get the tools ready. So they're going to be short on time. They're going to have to start that whole process Matzah Yom Tov. By the time they get around to doing the Omer, it's going to be late in the day on the 16th, and that's the concern. Asks Rashi Akasha, the famous Rashi, V'Kasha. What about the following Kasha? The Belayla Eilu Nivna. We know that the Beis HaMikdash won't be built at night. The Kamelam B'Shavuos Eim B'Nei Beis HaMikdash Belayla. How could you say that it's going to be built at night? That's number one. Nor will it be built on Yom Tov itself. You can't build a Migdash on Yom Tov. So what's the concern in the Gemara? Answers Rashi. Ah, which Migdash are we speaking about? The third Beis HaMikdash? That's different. A Beis HaMikdash built manually by Adam can't be done on Yom Tov, nor by night. Avav Migdash ha'asit, she'anu mitzapin, the future Beis HaMikdash, That's different. Bonoi umeshuchlal hu yigala v'yave mishamayim. It's going to come down as a ready-built structure from Shemayim. Hashem will take care of it for us. That can happen even at night, even on Yom Tov. Shenemar migdash Hashem kon yodecha Hashem, you will build the Beis HaMikdash. Interesting kasha, because the Rambam Hilchos Melachim seems to say that the Beis HaMikdash Lasadlavi will be built by Mashiach, so it is a bignesh b'dei Adam. It's actually going out of Gemara. So the Aruch HaNer actually learns that perhaps there are two aspects to the Mikdash. There's a physical aspect, which is Bidei Adam. But that's not what we're speaking about here. We're speaking about the second element, the spiritual element, the life of the Beis HaMikdash, which will come down, Min HaShemayim. So there's a corresponding Mikdash, a spiritual structure, corresponding to a physical structure down here, which has to come down. That gives it its life, its Kedusha. And that might come down at night, might come down on Yom Tov. In which case, now it changed the whole equation. We have a Mikdash here. We have to bring an Omer. It's going to get delayed until late in the day. Difa says, Rabbi Yechim HaZakai, refrain from Chadash throughout that 16th day of Nisan, just in case we end up with a situation where Chadash will be also throughout the 16th. That's the first approach in the Gemara. He was concerned about this type of situation, and therefore he said, Midrabanan, don't eat any Chadash throughout the 16th day of Nisan, even throughout the Golas days. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, continues the Gemara three lines in the bottom. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, I have another approach to things. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Bishitas Rabbi Yehuda Amar. This takana is based on Rabbi Yehuda, it's in line with Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. The Amar Minatiru Asr. Unlike the previous Gemara, where we learned that there's a difference between when there is a Mikdash, in which case you have to wait for the Omer to be brought, and when there's no Mikdash, when we say, the Etzamim Azeh, it's only us up until, not including the 16th. And Rabbi Yechim Azakim merely applied Exerim of the Rabbanon to avoid confusion, concern about some remote possibility. So it's only the Rabbanon. According to this approach, it's Minat Torah. This is consistent with Rabbi Yehuda, who was Rabbi Yechim Azakim's Talmud, down the line, and we see that Rabbi Yehuda held that Minat Torah, even when there's no Mikdash, you may not have your Chadash throughout the entire 16th day of Nisan. Davar Minat Torah also, the Chassid, Ad Etzemayim Azeh, Ad Yitzumei Shal Yayim, until the actual day, because Savan, he holds, Ad, when the Torah says Ad Etzemayim Azeh, doesn't mean until and not including, no, Ad Ve'ad Bechlal, and including the 16th. So when there is a Mikdash, it's Omer dependent. When there's no Mikdash, the entire day is Asa. That's all Reichen was telling us. He meant to know Mishachar Beis HaMikdash. Refrain from Chadash the entire day. So according to this approach, it's Minat Torah. It's not Gzeira D'Rabbanan. It's Asa Minat Torah. It says, how could that be? Umi Sovar Likavasei? Can you say that Rabbi Yechim Azakai was on the same track as Rabbi Yehuda? That the entire day is Asa Minat Torah? From Miflu Pelagli, we find that Rabbi Yehuda is actually in disagreement with Rabbi Yechim Azakai. This non Mishachar Beis HaMikdash. Hiskim Rabbi Yechim Azakai. Shehei no Yemenev Kuli Asa. So after the Churban, Rabbi Yechim Azakai was Mesakin. Atakana. 16th day of Nisan. There was an Isser for Chadash. Amar. Amar Loi, without the Loi, because he actually lived much later. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Valim in HaTorah also. It's a new takana that you're introducing. In HaTorah, you must refrain from Chadash throughout the 16th day, even when there's no Mikdash. Tachsiv Ad Etzamayim Azeh, which tells us, Ad Yitzim Shal Yayim, until the entire day is past you. So it sounds like Rabbi Yechim Azakai was in disagreement. He was introducing it in the Rabbanon. And says the Gemara, no, Rabbi Yehuda, who the Katoy, Rabbi Yehuda misunderstood Rabbi Yechim Azakai. Who saw him in the Rabbanon come? Rabbi Yehuda figured that Rabbi Yechim was introducing his own Gzera the Rabbanon. No, Velayi, it's not so with the Raisa come on. He was merely clarifying a Din Torah. Vo'iskin come. So why does it say Rabbi Yechim was Masakin? It wasn't Masakin, he was just teaching Halacha. My Hiskin, what does that mean, Hiskin? Darash, Vihiskin. He simply explored and expounded on that drash, on that pasuk. That ad etzem hayom azeh means ad b'chlal, including the 16th. That's all he's trying to say. And he establish the Issa, because you see, up until that point, during this Zman HaMikdash, they waited for the Omer and no more. Comes Rabbi Yechon and says, Rabbi Yisai, things changed today. Unfortunately, after the Churban, we go back to the Pasuk, which says, Ada Yetzamayim Azeh, which tells us the entire day is Aser. That's what it means. He had to be Masak, and he had to establish the Halacha and clarify it. But of course, it's Menat Torah. Because Ad Etzameim Azeh means the entire day. Okay, let's make a quick Chazara. So there's a din to refrain from eating Chadash. Until when? Pasuk says, Ad Etzameim Azeh, Ad Havi'achem Es Korban Alekechem. Which seems to be a contradiction. Until the day, and then it says, no, until you bring the carbon. How does this work? Well, it depends at what point in history. Bizman HaMikdash, it works according to the Omer. The ones who live far away, rest assured, Chatzos onward is Mutter. But there's no Mikdash. Oh, here have a Machlekes. According to Shitz Chachamim, Heir Mizrach is the Mater. They hold Ad Etzemei Mazeh means up until, not including the day of the 16th. Rabbi Yehuda learns, the entire day is awesome in HaTorah. Ad Etzem means Ad V'ad Bechlal, including the day. When Rabbi Yechon Mazal came along and made a takana to refrain from Chadash, the entire day, what do you have in mind? Oh, so it depends according to who Shita was speaking. We have two approaches in the Gemara. Approach one is that Rabbi Yechon following Shita's Chachamim. Heir Mizrach is really Mati. But he said, no. Keep away the entire day. Gzeru Shem Yibana B'Sam Midosh. In a manner where they'll bring the Omer very late, right? They'll build it at night, and at that point, people might get confused. They'll keep to their habits of eating the Chadash the entire day. No. He says, in order to avoid confusion, the entire day is Aser. This way, it's going to eliminate any mistakes. Second approach in the Gemara was, Rabbi Yechon was following Shittas Rabbi Yehuda, the entire day is Aser not Torah. That's all he's trying to say. During the Mikdash, Omer is Matabri. After the Mikdash, we revert back to the Pasuk about Etzem Ayim Azeh. The entire 16th day is Aser. The Chadash. Says the Mishnah, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, the first day of Sukkot, Shechal Yis B'Shabbos, which happens to fall on Shabbos. On the first day, you have to actually take your own luluf. You can't carry it on Shabbos. So what would they do? Kala'am, the entire community, they would bring their lulav to the shul before Shabbos. L'machros, the next morning, Shabbos, mashkim u'bon, they would come along, kol echad v'echad makas shaloi. So every person takes a look and discerns and recognizes his personal lulav, v'naitle, and takes it for his mitzvah. Why? V'pnei sh'amr chachamim. Chacham taught us that the first day is different than the rest of Sukkos. Ein odam yaitzei dechevasa b'yam tev rishon. The only way you can be yoytzi your mitzvah on the first day is if it's your own. You can't be yoytzi b'lulav shel chaver. It says lochem. You have to make sure it's yours. Ushar yimoy sachag, as opposed to the rest of the days of Sukkot. Adam yoytzi dechevosoi b'lulav shel chaver. You can be yoytzi with your friend's lulav. Now we speak about taking the lulav on the first day, which you don't do today. That was during the Zman of the Mikdash when they knew with certainty that their calendar was on track, and then they took it even on the first day. But today, we don't do that anymore. Concludes the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, interesting Allah, Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, Shechal Yis B'Shabbos. Suppose the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, V'Shachach, he got so excited about the mitzvah, he forgot, V'Hitzis HaLul V'Shisharab, and he actually carried the lulav outside with him. Potter doesn't have to bring a chatas. Why? Because he carried out Bershus mitzvah, meaning he was preoccupied and overwhelmed by the mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi holds when he's toya b'dvar mitzvah, he's potter from carbon. So Mishnah told us on the first day of Sukkot, you have to take your lulav menon emili. How do we know that? Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa. It says lokachtem lochem. We learn from here. Lokachtem shetehei lekicha b'yad kol echad ve'echad, meaning Bez Din can't be moitzi the entire community. It's a personal chiv. That's why it says lokachtem. Lashon Rabim. Every person has to take a lulav. From the word lochem we learn, Misha lochem has to belong to you. Lohoitzi is a shol as opposed to a bar lulav, as a gadol or a stone lulav. Mikan anu chacham, based on this pasuk, chacham tell us, Ein adam yoitzi yidei chevasa. Biyam tev arishon, shachak, one may not be Yetze. His mitzvah's lulav on the first day of Yom Tov, bilu lovei shel chaver, using his friend's lulav. Ela im kein, nosnoi lei b'matan. Unless his friend was gracious enough to grant it him as a gift. You can do that. In fact, it was a story. Umasa, it was a story involving Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azai, Rabbi Akiva, Shibon b'sfino, they're traveling on a ship. And it was Sukkot, the first day. V'lo yehoya lulav el Rabbi Gamliel b'vad. The only one who had a lulav was Rabbi Gamliel. Shalachay be'elav zuz, which he purchased for 1,000 zuz. So what did they do? So first, noklay Rabbi Gamliel v'yotzabay. Rabbi Gamliel shook it, he was yotzei his mitzvah. V'nosnay, Rabbi Shua b'matana. And he granted it to Rabbi Shua b'matana. Not later, Rabbi Shua v'yotzabay. Rabbi Shua took it and was yotzei. So after Rabbi Shua was v'yotzabay, nos v'nosnay, Lezron Azayi matana. Rabbi Shua gave it to Lezron Azayi as a gift. Not like Rezun Azariah, v'yatzalei. He as well took him, he was yaitzei. V'nosnei matono l'Rabbi Akiva. He gave it matono to Rabbi Akiva. The last one on the list. Netolei, Rabbi Akiva v'yatzalei. Rabbi Akiva takes and is yaitzei. What do you do afterwards? V'yachziroi l'Rabbi Gamliel. He gave it back to Rabbi Gamliel. So we see that you can be yaitzei. Even b'matono. Now, Lamali Lameimar Hechziri, why does the Brisa, the Mishnah, bother to say that he returned it to Rabbi Gamliel? Is there any halacha that we derive from that? Says more, yes. Musa agam urche kamashmon. By way of discussion, the Mishnah is teaching us a halacha. That matana al manas lahachzir shma matana. If you give a matana on condition that it has to be returned to you, that's considered a matana. As long as he has it, it's his. It's mamashis. And when he gives it back to you, you have to reacquire it. You have to make a new kinyan. As Rava tells us, hey, look, take a look. I have an esrig. You want to have it? You want to be yaitzer with it? Take it as a gift. Al manas on condition shetachzireilu li. They return it to me. So I'm giving it to you conditional. It's a conditional matan. Not like yaitzer. This fellow takes it. His yotzei is mitzvah with it. Is he really yotzei? Oh, it depends. Hechziru yotzei. If he actually fulfills the condition, keeps his word, he gives it back to the original owner, then he's yotzei. It turns out that it was really his because he was mekayim the condition. Lo yechziru lo yotzei. But if he fails to return it, then he's a goslin. He didn't keep his word. It was never given to him as a gift. And therefore, lo yotzei. Continues the Gemara, Lomali Lameima Shalachi Belavzuz. Why does the Mishnah bother saying that Rabbi Gamliel purchased a lulav for 1,000 zuz? Liyadiacha, to inform you, Kama mitzvahs chavivas aleim. How dear mitzvahs were to them. It's interesting that the Chafetz Chaim writes that you don't have to pay an exorbitant fee for your mitzvahs. So a person's only chayiv in Abraminim if they're being sold at fair value. Market price. But if there's extortion taking place, there's no chiyuv, potter from the mitzvah. Rabbi Gamliel took exception. He paid even 1,000 zuz. And it shows the chavivus. He went beyond the call of duty. Kama mitzvah is chavivus alein. Omali mar bar amemar l'Ravashi. Mar, the son of Amemar, tells Ravashi, Abba, my father, meaning Amemar, tzului kamasli bei. He would actually hold the lulav while he was davening. Rashi says, this was an expression of dearness, of chiba. So the mitzvah's lulav. He would hold on to it all the time. Meisvei says, we have a brisa which indicates that you're not meant to do that. Lo yechiz adam tefillin biyada. One may not hold on to tefillin, v'sefer Torah b'chek, or to sefer Torah, v'yispal during tefillin, because it creates a distraction. Difficult to concentrate when you're holding on to a sefer Torah tefillin. And a concern about dropping it. V'lo yashtem ben mayim, nor should tend to his meirag line, because I might spray on the tefillin on the sefer Torah. V'lo yishtem ben lo yishen es kva, v'lo yishen es arai. While he's holding to the tefillin on the sefer Torah, he might not engage in any type of sleeping, a deep sleep, a light nap, because he might drop these items. V'amar Shmuel added more to the list. Not only Dvar Shebe Kedusha, which presented real concern in his mind, even other things. Sakin, a sharp knife, which he might drop while he's davening. It's going to distract his kavana. Ukara, a bowl full of something. kikar, loaf of bread, umois, coins, hara'il kiyotzman, that same halacha. They never had to hold on to these items during tefillah. They're disruptive. So how can we say that Mareimar will hold his lulav during tefillah? It says, l'mor hasam lav mitzvah nino, v'taret bu. A lulav is very different than those items, which are non-mitzvah items, which distract him. Distract his kavona. He has to hold on to them. It's like a burden. It's like a masi. It's disruptive. As opposed to the lulav, hacha mitzvah nino. V'loi taret bu, it's a mitzvah. It's not going to distract him. The chaviv is a mitzvah. It's so dear to him. It's so chaviv to him that it's not going to be matured. It's not going to distract him. It's not going to interfere with his kavana. Ask the ritva. Just the opposite. A dvar mitzvah. You have to pay more attention to a dvar mitzvah. Of course it's going to take away from his concentration. Says the ritva, no. What Rashi meant to say is, and since the lulav is a spiritual entity, it's going to only do him good. It's only going to enhance his tefillah experience. It's going to generate more Avas Hashem, more Ruchnius. So it's not going to take away. It's going to add enthusiasm, excitement. It's like min b'mino in a chaytis. They're both mitzvahs. It's not going to interfere. They're going to feed off each other. It's going to enhance his tefillah experience. So since holding on to the lulav is part of mitzvah's lulav, as we're going to see soon, the Anshe Yerushalayim would keep their lulav in their hands the entire day. So this is an enhancement of the mitzvah's lulav. It only adds and enhances his tefillah. Tanya, as we find in the following brayso, Reb Elazar b'Tzedek Omer, Kach hayu menhagen shel Anshe Yerushalayim. In fact, this was the minhag of the people in Yerushalayim. Adam yoytzim beisei, his fellow leaves his home, v'lova biyadei, with his lulav still in his hand. Hoylech lebeis haknesses, goes to shul, v'lova biyadei, he's holding his lulav. Koyer kriyish from his palel, even during Krishma and Tefillah, v'lova biyadei, he's holding on to his lulav. Koyer b'teira, when he gets to reading the Torah, he has to actually roll the Torah back and forth, he has to open, close, or v'noitzias kapov, if he's a kohen, he has to do nesias kapayim, brichas kahan. Then he has no choice. Manicha yal gabekarka, he has to place his loaf down. Hoyluch lobakir choylem, he proceeds to be mabakir choylem. Ulanacham avelem, proceeds to nichma avelem. Lov biyadi, still clutching his lulav. Nichas lebesa medrash. And he gets to the besa medrash. Rashi says on the bottom line, Nichas lebesa medrash, Torah v'shmat, he's going to get preoccupied with learning v'ipul miyad. He might absentmindedly drop that lulav. Now it's time to let go. Says the Gemara on the second line from the bottom, Nichas beis hamedrash mishagad lulav biad bnoi. So he sends his lulav with his son, biad avde, with his servant, biad shluche, with his emissary, sends it home. My kamashma, what's the point of this brisa? L'diachat to show you kama yuzrizim b'mitzvahs. Look how meticulous, how eager they were to be mekayim the mitzvahs lulav properly. They would keep it with them the entire day, and once again we see that it wasn't considered an interference with krishma, with tefillah. That's a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah. They feed off each other. You only end up gaining. Okay, let's do a brief chazorah of today's highlights. We started with doing the chilul of Kedusha Shvius onto money, onto other fruit. So Rav Ashi's conclusion was, when it comes to the original fruit, the pre-rishon, it can only affect change through mekach, through exchange, through transaction. When it comes to pre-sheni, which is the second generation, the food or money received in exchange for that original fruit, that Kedusha is sort of a lighter Kedusha. And here we have a machlokes. Rav Leza says the only way to transfer that Kedusha further is by way of transaction. We don't differentiate between the first Pri and the second Pri. Shvi'is, by definition, is an inherent Kedusha, which cannot be transferred freely, whereas Rabbi Yechon maintains, no, once it's a Pri-Sheni, it's an applied Kedusha, and it can be transferred derech Chilul as well. Rabbi Yechon and Zakeh established two Ketakonis. We shake the lulav throughout all 7 days, even though we're outside the Beis HaMikdash. Number two, we must refrain from Chadash the entire 16th day of Nisan. That takes us to the topic of Chadash. We have a pasuk which says, Ad etzem ayim hazeh, a pasuk which says, until the Eimer is brought. Well, it depends. During the Mikdash, until the Eimer. No Mikdash. Well, then the Chacham say, once the 16th day arrives, you're okay. The reader says, the entire day is us. What was Rabbi Yechon Mazakeh's takana? Well, according to Chachamim, although it's mutter nowadays, but he maintained the Isser just in case the Beis HaMikdash would be built at the last minute, in which case the Eimer would be brought only late in the day. So he says, you know, better refrain from Chadash the entire day. According to the second approach of the Gemara, he was following the Beauty Sheet. And the entire day is us. That's all he came to say. After the Midrash was destroyed, you have to refrain from Chadash the entire day. We know that the first day of Sukkot is a dinner of Lekachtam Lochem, has to be yours. Yours, even through a matana, Amanas Lachser, is also considered yours. Holding a load during Tefillah is Asa Bar Lulav is Mutter. We see Rav Gamliel spent so much money on his Lulav, and the Anshei Yerushalayim, who kept a Lulav with them the entire day. So we see how much mitzvah was chaviv to them, how much zrizis they applied to the mitzvah performance. Kol tov to you and atzlacha rabbah.